is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news and intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversations. 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of the management and staff of Guardian Radio.
You're listening to Talking Heads with Naughty. Only on Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM.
Not even the dogs that twist against the walls of Babylon shall escape the wrath I come to pour. And I shall burn them and burn them continuously, for they never cease to oppress the poor.
Talking Heads with Naughty is brought to you by Burger King, City of Hope, Fine Threads, Jazz in the Gardens, John's Department Store, Joker's Wild, Collect, KFC, Naughty Johnny's, NRG Nutrition, Percy's Island Games, Pinder Tile, Prince Masters, and Tropical Gyros.
Cause now is not the time to speak or turn the other cheek. God, the wicked in a Babylon, so ya if you're weak. Whoa, plead my cause, oh Jah, and let me stand firm.
You've got it locked to every 25th edition of Talking Heads. Your boy Naughty in your company right up until 6 p.m. Battling this flu and all, but hey, we got to do what we got to do, you know? Another day, another dollar. That's how it go. It's Tuesday. It's the Tuesday edition. You know, we will be going down to Grand Bahama. We'll be touching base with Sarah Kirkby. Darren Cooper unavailable today. He will be chiming in next week. We'll be getting to them in short order. As you know, each and every Tuesday, great supplement in The Guardian, courtesy of the Grand Bahama News, all things Grand Bahama. So we will be getting caught up with Grand Bahama, with Sarah Kirkby from the Grand Bahama News on the flip side of the break when we get into the buzz, all brought to you, of course, by John Shoes. The lines will be open, so if you want to chime in, feel free, go right ahead.
Here's how you can become a talking head, brought to you by BTC.
Text lines powered by BTC, 422-GR96, that's 422-4796. Phone lines in New Providence open, 323-6232. 325-4316, 325-4259. Toll free in any one of the family islands, 242-300-5720, 242-300-5720. Stream us live, take us wherever you want to go, guardiantalkradio.com. That's guardiantalkradio.com. Cable channel 969, BTC Flow channel 612. That's how you get it in for fresh news, smart talk all day, right here at Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. All right. Check out the headlines.
It's time for Headliners. Everything that's making headlines in the 242. Brought to you by the Fine Threads.
Here's what's blazing up the pages of the Nassau Guardian News and Views of Matter since 1844. All brought to you, of course, by Fine Threads. Exuma Moorings Project dead. Lease from government relinquished. Story by Travis Cartwright Carroll. Less than 24 hours after the Office of the Prime Minister defended the government's decision to grant a 21-year lease to the Bahamas Moorings Limited to operate mooring services in the Exuma, that the agreement is dead. The announcement came after considerable backlash over the secrecy that had been surrounding the matter and the company's decision to move ahead with the moorings installation in the Keys in the absence of any environmental or other required approvals. The lease required that the company met environmental and other conditions, OPM said. When the company began to install some moorings in advance of meeting all the such conditions, they were ordered to cease and desist. The Office of the Prime Minister has since become aware that an employee of the office was a witness to the lessee. We are conducting an internal review of the matter. Yeah, boy, it looked like the ish at the found on that one, and they couldn't clean it up fast enough, eh? Anyhow, but again, proper Freedom of Information Act, proper Procurement Act, and just a little bit of good old-fashioned transparency and accountability from the administration prior, not post, you know? Being proactive, not reactive, could have avoided all of this, but it should have never happened in the first place, especially if you connect the dots. Pintard, Exuma Moorings deal, a blatant conflict of interest, story by Travis Cartwright. I'll read more on that. Police investigating first case under Anti-Gang Act. Story by Tanika Thompson. The Royal Bahamas Police Force is investigating the first case under the new Anti-Gang Act and hopes to have suspects charged in court soon in connection with gang activities. This according to Commissioner of Police Shanta Knowles. Simplified Lending unveils AI-powered humanoid loan officer. Man, listen here. you all got to get it right. Is this better than ATMs? Because them ATMs be high tech and still be doing food. Sometimes people don't lean to slap the ATMs because they're ATMs. But now you're putting like a human, humanoid robot that's loaning things, man. You know how payments go. You can't get your money. Something go wrong. Now that robot might get slapped. Anyhow, we'll see where that goes. And finally, and very sadly, Kelly Ingram, daughter of former PM, dies. Kelly Ingram, the daughter of former Prime Minister Hubert Ingram and his wife Dolores, died at 12:55 p.m. yesterday following a brief illness, her family confirmed. Her death came just over a month after she celebrated her 45th birthday. Kelly Ingram served on the Bahamas Bar Council and on the Bahamas Financial Services Board for a number of years. My thoughts and prayers go out to the Ingram family, and especially my schoolmates, Keisha and Christine, Kelly, all of them. Very sad situation. All right, let's get to the break. Flip side of the break, we'll be going to Grand Bahama. The Buzz by John Shoes is coming up, and we'll see everything that's buzzing in Grand Bahama as we talk with Sarah Kirkby from the Grand Bahama News coming up on the flip side of the break. So keep it right where you got it. The Tuesday, February 25th edition of Talking Heads continues right after this.
Rastafari by the guidance, I'll never say what it daddy just say. For Emperor Selassie, I trust and obey. Rasta words of your substance, I'll never go where the pagans go. Never do what the heathens do. Cause Rastafari by the guidance, I'll never say what the wicked are say.
You try to rest, but go with the best. For all your printing needs, there ain't no one better, no. For posters and banners, magazines and flyers. For window decals, greeting cards and newsletters. No job too big and there's no job too small. You name it, we can print it, just give us a call.
Let Printmasters bring your masterpiece to life.
Located at the Nassau Guardian Building, telephone 302-2361.
The KFC Chicken Experts have done it again with the new Kentucky Mesquite Chicken Sandwich. Featuring a large 100% premium 120-gram white meat filet, chunky bacon, lettuce, tomato, and tangy red onion. All drizzled with ranch sauce and served on a toasted brioche bun. Choose original recipe or spicy, but don't wait. This mouthwatering masterpiece is only here for a limited time and only at your favorite KFC. The new Kentucky Mesquite Chicken Sandwich at KFC. It's finger-licking good.
John Shoes and Accessories is your one-stop shop for all your footwear needs. You will find what you're looking for among the growing collection of classic and trendy styles with new arrivals every week. John's covers the whole family and has great prices, helpful and friendly customer service. Your experience shopping with us will be time well spent. Shop with us online at www.johnshoes.com. John's also now carries small home appliances. So come on into John's, located on Rosetta Street in Palmdale and Carmichael Road West. John's, we put fashion at your feet.
Love the show? Want to give your support? Become a sponsor today. Call 302-2300 for our rates and packages. That's 302-2300. Become a sponsor on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
You're listening to Talking Heads with Naughty. Only on Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM.
It's time for The Buzz. What are you buzzing on? Brought to you by John Shoes.
Not even the dogs that twist against the walls of Babylon shall escape the wrath I come to pour. And I shall burn them and burn them continuously, for they never cease to oppress the poor.
Oh, plead my cause, oh, Jah, and let me stand firm. When the wicked rise against the eye, order my steps, soldier. The way is dark and I'm alone. But still I fear no foe, no. Cause now is not the time to sleep or turn the other cheek. Are the wicked in a Babylon, so ya if you're weak. Whoa, plead my cause, soldier. And let me stand firm.
We're back at you. On the Tuesday, February 25th edition of Talking Heads, we're into The Buzz, all brought to you, of course, by John Shoes. Let's head down to Grand Bahama. Let's check in with Sarah Kirkby And as you know, each and every Tuesday, we got an awesome supplement from the Grand Bahama News, all things Grand Bahama in the Guardian. Let's be sure to check that out each and every Tuesday if you want to stay abreast as to what's going on in Grand Bahama. Sarah, how are you?
I'm like you, still recovering from the flu, buddy.
Yeah, double whammy slammy. I had to do a little bit of traveling, boy. I got a dose of it, man. It is not easy. I'm guaranteeing you now, if you're going to the airport, you're going to get something.
Yeah, I had it, thought I got rid of it, and it came back. I was like, what the hell? Sorry.
Well, you know, you got to just back to taking plenty of fluids and taking the meds. But
I'm telling you, it was a doozy, so I hate to admit it, but I'm obviously in that range now where you need to get a flu shot.
So what we got in Grand Bahama this week there, Sarah? Lots to talk about. Big headline. The first headline jumps right out. Heywood speech sparks Mitchell pushback. Now, you know. Mm-hmm. The chairman of the PLB always ready to push back and have something to say on Grand Bahama. I spit a man lives there.
I believe he might have a home here, is what I hear. So
he's got a lot to say. He's very impassioned about Freeport.
Doesn't seem like it sometimes, but I think he does.
All right, so
I know he loves going to Pier 1, so that's a good restaurant too.
So break it down for us. I mean, obviously PLB chairman again blames Grand Bahama Port Authority for Freeport's economic woes. And yeah, anything to improve the economic woes of the average Bahamian in Grand Bahama.
Well, I think he was just basically, he's picking off on the speech that Heyward gave, Rupert Heyward, who, you know, it's Heyward and the St. George's, who are the shareholders of the Port Authority. Unlike, I believe a gentleman is putting out there today that they're Wallace Grove's children. They are not. I think some people really need to understand their history of Grand Bahama. And it amazes me how much they don't know about this island, yet they like to pontificate on it as much as they do. And it really gets quite annoying sometimes, especially like people who often refer to the International Bazaar and don't know who owns that either. It's like, if you don't know, ask somebody who's from Freeport, you know? I got to be honest with you on that one. So Mr. Heyward gave a speech at the Grand Bahama Business Outlook, basically talking about where Grand Bahama is, how he feels maybe it's being held back a little bit. And it goes back to the thing that Darren and you and I have been talking about for a couple of years now. It's the relationship between the Port Authority and the government. And, you know, it always seems that Mr. Mitchell's saying one thing and the Port is saying another. He references that, which I think most people would disagree with Mr. Mitchell, unfortunately, where he says, who got these companies to come in. I mean, it's both of them. They have to work together. A company will come here. That's the whole thing about the Hawksbill Creek Agreement, is that the Port Authority is responsible for bringing businesses here. When they get to a certain size, if they need a heads of agreement, then that has to go through the government. But it is the Port Authority's responsibility for bringing business here. So they're trying to each take credit for things and then trying to blame each other for the other. Well, I don't find that the Port Authority is blaming. I think they're just trying to work together and being harmonious. A big subject, which is obviously a very touchy one for everybody, which is immigration. And so Mr. Mitchell believes there's nothing holding back immigration issues, where I think most people on this island would disagree. There's a lot of paperwork and things that have slowed stuff down that stops progress, especially when we're in a market where we have a lot of industry going on. And things have to, you know, move smoothly in order to get people and specialists to come in, especially on the shipyard when you're dealing with multi-million dollar ships and also with oil issues as well. And we have two oil refineries on the island. So these are things that are important to us, and they were highlighted. I mean, no one likes to hear the bad things that hold us back, but we all have to talk about it, just like we talk about our Lakaya and just how we talk about the airport, which are both government entities that need to get sorted out.
And that's the problem. I think as long as they have an opportunity to point the finger at the port, you know, this administration will. But obviously this thing's lacking that needs to be provided by this administration separate and apart. And
yeah.
You know, you but need I mean, to be accountable.
If they would work together, it would be great. And then, you know, and the only part that I think we missed out of here, which is unfortunate because, you know, we can only fit so much in our paper at a time, is, you know, the Chamber of Commerce president, who's outgoing, James Carey, has been very strong in saying this in every single one of his meetings, in every one of his interviews, that, you know, we need this group to get together in order to keep. And I think we do actually have, I don't know if we have it here at the actually end of it. No, we don't. He actually said in his speech, which I thought was very important, he said, you know, the Hawkesbill Creek Agreement goes on for another 29 years. It's an agreement that's been signed. So we need them to get along and move everything forward. And it will. We've got some great positive things happening here. But this, you know, the argument back and forth never helps us. And I think if they work together cohesively, Grand Bahama could take off. And, you know, Grand Bahamians get very frustrated when they see this because we want things to get better. We want things to improve.
And you all have been waiting for it for a long time. You get a lot of promises. You know what I mean?
I hadn't realized how long the hotel had not been in full occupancy as another brand since it's actually been 8 years. I thought
wow.
It was, you know, I know it's, yeah. And, you know, it is running and there's a wonderful lady who runs the hotel. And Veronica Clark, she's a wonderful lady. And she runs Grand Lacayan. And, you know, she's doing that with the best of her ability with the product that she has. But, you know, we are looking, and I know the government is trying to get a buyer. And I, you know, I do hope it happens as soon as possible. But everyone goes back to that same argument, same discussion we have every week, which comes first, the airport or the hotel. At this point for me, you know, I just want them both to go. So it's something that has to happen. And yeah, these are the big things. And we've got other challenges as well as what our second story is about, which is about the housing, you know, inefficiency. We are looking for that low affordable housing that we don't have at the moment.
And again, I keep hearing not out of Grand Bahama, but this talk about, you know, housing and stuff booming down there, if you listen to certain people.
Yeah. So, you know, we've talked about it before. And, you know, when the shipyard goes to full being back to full engagement where it was before, that's probably going to hit us. And I would think I'm guessing here, this is me thinking in my brain where we were, we'll be at 2025. We're back to where we used to be, where we would have tons of crew on the island. We would have workers on the island, specialized teams coming in to fix these air conditioning units or to rebrand a whole ship. And like, they have to do it in 2 days. You know, these are emergency teams that fly in. This work gets done, but they fill up all your hotels. They fill up all your Airbnbs. Then the teams that stay longer, they fill up all your housing. But they're also competing with the Wasson kids. So you've got 100 college students who are also on the island. And then to add to that, Carnival has a large team here as well. You know, you've got the people that are in charge and working with Carnival, training the Bahamians in their positions, getting everything up to speed. That also, Carnival is part of that competition. And then to add to that, it will be Doctors Hospital as well. So as our island starts to repopulate and business people are coming in, the housing crisis is going to come for us.
And that's, you know, like we said on this show numerous times, when you have the college town feel with the Wasson mm-hmm. campus, as well as other developments coming on that's going to have construction workers there. You're going to need, you know, these little towns set up and little businesses set up around these projects. And obviously yeah. people will look to migrate back to Grand Bahama first chance they get, because there are many displaced Grand Bahamians here in New Providence.
Yeah. And, you know, we have the you know, the streets are correct. Our streets are correct. Sorry. We've got great roads. We've got ample street lighting. We've got infrastructure. We've got internet. We've got everything ready. So we're all good. And what I'm finding now is that a lot of, and Kiara mentions it in when she spoke to Business Outlook, that we have people coming from other islands buying our properties, buying up the derelict buildings, buying up the condos and redoing them and getting them ready. So, you know, now is the time to get in there and to, but there is definitely that missing spot there, she says, for first time homeowners. And she's also talks about some difficulty she's been having, as well as most real estate agents, and I believe lawyers will tell you, with the whole VAT and property issues, which she dives into in her speech. We highlight it, but I think it's something that we'll probably come back to as well, because that's also holding up a lot of sales and causing issues as well. And, you know, because, you know, we have that same problem that most islands have that are the out islands, that, you know, it all goes back to Nassau for referrals. And Nassau thinks that we are, if you read the article on what Kiara says about VAT and property and how you have to have a number and how that process goes, it's taking a long time and it's holding back a lot of sales. So it's something that needs to be addressed. Makes sense.
All right, I got a couple of texts coming at you real quick there, Sarah, all right? And a couple of things for you. Good day, Naughty. Could you ask your guest if she can let me know who owns Atlantic Insurance in Freeport? I would just like to know.
Atlantic Insurance. Do you mean CC? Is it called CG Atlantic?
Taxi. You'll have to hit me back specifically.
I think that is, yeah, who it is.
That's what the text is. Hit me back with that, yeah. So we can be specific. Also, Naughty, the only rebuttal is Fred Mitchell. He is a blockage in the PLP. Brave needs to put him in his place soon. Naughty, can you ask your guests what role do Hutchinson with properties in Freeport, and do they have shares in the Port Authority?
Port Authority. No, they don't have shares in the Port Authority. The Hutchinson Wampoa is involved in DEVCO, which is the land side of the Port Authority. And DEVCO is responsible for, most of the properties are in the Lucaya now and out east, not east end, government side, but in the Lucaya property of the port, which is a 60-mile radius. And those lots are all for sale. And they actually have a website you can go to. I don't know if you can access it through the Port Authority site. I do not know. But there is land available for sale, and they are always trying to sell and promote business. And you can reach out to them at any time. They actually have really good deals, I believe, going on for first-time buyers. And so you can go on those sites and have a look. Yeah. I don't know how much, you know, canal or beachfront is left, but, I mean, those are the key ones. You know, we do have a really fantastic canal system here, which everybody wants to get in on as well.
Naughty, let Sarah know I'm referring to the new building behind the R&D building.
Yes, okay, that's the new medical, it's CG Atlantic, right? Atlantic Medical. And I believe that's all over the Bahamas, but all over the Caribbean as well. I don't know who their major owner is. I mean, I have insurance with them, I know that. So, yeah. Does that help answer? It's a beautiful building. They opened it last year. The Prime Minister came in, and I believe they're headquartering a lot of their services out of Freeport now. It's a very pretty building on the mall.
All right, let's get to the phone lines real quick. Talking heads.
Yes.
You know, let me tell my rest of my stories.
Hi to the wider Bahamas.
Hey, C. Allen, before you get to your point, I had a text that had actually chimed in, and I want you to answer this for me real quick, since you're my, you know, you're my tech guy, you're my tech guru, you know?
Okay.
Naughty, I don't believe what is said to be an AI for the loan company is actually AI. It seems as described to be a fancy laptop and scanner combined. Second, CBS, I think, is the first company to publicly announce the adoption of AI as part of its process. I wonder if C. Allen can call and answer this paradoxical reality.
Good
just worried about how many times we get bad services at ATMs. Now you got a humanoid form dispensing money. You know, I know how violent the culture is in this country right now. People think about hitting the ATM, but they know cameras are around. I don't think they could hold back if they see a humanoid feature in front of them telling them, no, I can't get money. Somebody, that humanoid feature, AI can get bikes, can guess it up.
Well, the poison is somewhat correct. I think, I can't remember the name of the guy, but he's at CBS, and they were on actually a station explaining their adoption of AI in logistics and in customer service as well as in their back. And that's the problem, is that we often have these, as they say, paradoxical statement as to where AI is involved in it. The device itself is not AI, but the process in the back offices, an argument could be made. I did watch the news. They didn't come out to explain that. But the machine itself, depending on the analysis, that it is a fancy laptop, because essentially, since AI is not processed locally at that machine, all you're doing is entering information, and most likely the device can answer a question. It's just a detached version of having, say, your phone in your hand. the question would have to be asked, and they would have to explain, is how AI is used in the analysis and processing of the information, scoring, and other different things out of this. But the device itself is not AI. An argument could be an AI enabled, and that would be a small stretch, because AI is not devices yet. In fact, someone being in AI for 30 years, in spite of what you hear in the news, just like the dot-com bomb era, we have yet to reach AI. We have what is called augmented reality in AI. One day we'll have a show, and that Dwight and I touch on it on another show, is a tool as we know it now. And once we reach AI, trust me, in about another decade or so, you will be amazed that we will call ourselves stupid at what we was calling AI today.
All right. Now let's get to your point that you called in for today. Appreciate the info.
Okay, right. CGI is a company. I don't know exactly where they are based, but they are a human-based company with a board of directors and everything else that basically sell car insurance, marine, condo, cargo, health, personal insurance, and pension plans, and other different things. So they're very similar to the other companies that's right here. Now, I don't know for the ownership of the person that called in regards to what it is, but they've been around for a long time. I know somebody who's worked for them for over a decade. Let me just speak to this immigration issue that has come up. To date, you know, respectfully, in its proper context, Haywood is correct in his argument concerning the need for the intellectual capital to grow the economy. We don't have it. You see, the world is accelerating in technology. This is a warning I've been giving for two decades, that proper prior preparation will prevent our piss-poor performance in the 21st century. So, but when you talk about it, there will be no growth unless we actually have a economy of scale that grows more so in Grand Bahama than anyone else. The intellectual capital that we're talking about we need on Grand Bahama is not in the dozens. It's not in the hundred. It's in the thousands. And so when we begin to look at then where is the issue, I'm not going to go into the details of the Hawkes-Peake Agreement very specifically, but I would say the failure of addressing the immigration concern is right in the same thing we're having in conversations today concerning the fact that we humans are very concerned about their sovereignty. And we see this with the giving away or handing out of passports and literally 10 people a day, which is 3,000 people a year. If you do it over 10 years, you have 30,000 new owners. So behemoths in this country. So then you begin to have to argue, why are you allowing 3,000 people per year to get passports? If that 3,000 people per year is getting passports, that only could mean that, let's say that's 10% of the people here. That means that you could have a huge amount of people that you're not counting. So if there's an immigration problem, it's not from the context of the Grand Bahama Port Authority. But the problem with immigration is that we don't have a regime for sovereignty protection that allows us to go back to the original concept of the Hawkes-Peake Agreement. What I mean by that? Move to protect your citizenship. So when people come, like Singapore and other things, they just can't come your hot baby to become citizens. They can't claim they stayed here for 10 years and things. When you fix our immigration issue that we're facing as a country, what Mr. Haywood or the Grand Bahama Port Authority wants becomes nonsensical argument, because they would fall under that regime. Come in and out of
the office. Hold on. See, Alan. The immigration issues he's concerning is not citizenship.
No.
Let's be very clear. I don't want people to think that he was promoting citizenship. There's a big difference there.
Sarah, I'm making
that's
an argument.
That's a very big difference.
No. Yeah. The people concerned is citizenship. I'm making the argument that if we fix our problem, that's it. See, I don't think the Port Authority has a problem. We do. As a country.
No. But that's not what their issue they were talking about. He obviously was talking about work permit issues, that sort of flow through. I just want to be very clear to the people that are listening that it's not a citizenship immigration issue
requesting. We need an open economy. It has nothing. I'm saying to you, see, you have to understand, Mr. Mitchell and others plays to the lowest denominator amongst us. And you see this with the third party right now. Okay? I'm simply saying this. I don't care how much power you give the Port Authority, they can't fix that issue that they play to. The Port Authority wants people, and I want them on Grand Bahama. I want 100,000, 200,000 work permit holders on Grand Bahama. But Bahamians have to ask, not the Port Authority request or demand. That is a fear that is bred in us, as Bahamians, not understanding the very issue that we need to resolve. And when you go back to 1969 or whatever it is, whenever they modified it, that was the strength of the political argument that got them in the position where, or got us in the position where we are on Grand Bahama as it is, not having the intellectual capital being able to flow in. And I'm saying, if we need 30,000, 40,000 individuals, we want to bring a data center and a tech hub and all these other different people. You talk about 200,000 people. How do you get 200,000 people to come to the Bahamas if they don't have work permit? Okay, it's a non-issue. The Progressive Liberal Party and the FNM talk about the tech center, the tech Grand Bahama, put 100,000 people. So how do you ask to say you're going to create a tech hub or expand the industry without addressing the immigration issue? And so I'm saying the conversation now being had by Mr. Mitchell is a red herring. And let me tell you how it is, Sarah. Go back to the minister's statement. He says, our population has not grown sufficient to be able to have the skill set necessary to run government, so this is why we had to bring people back. He's now arguing against the argument he's making against the Port Authority. Yeah, you there?
Okay.
Now
I'm here.
I'm saying that what we have to do is aspirant or to be prime minister since 2002 has said, without Grand Bahama, there will be no economic group in the Bahamas. The aspirants and the ones who became, right up to the last election in 2021. So if that is the case, then where is the governmental strategy for the growth and development of Grand Bahama that the Grand Bahama Port Authority can plug into? Okay? The Grand Bahama Port Authority is not responsible for creating a national position, a national policy for the economic growth of the Bahamas. They are a subset of that, but they could become the accelerant of the growth that is necessary for the Bahamian people. So I think I'm telling Bahamians, our demand, we need to stop allowing ourselves to be gaslighted. And if they, whatever issue the Grand Bahama Port Authority and the government have, to me, they need to deal with that with more of type of an inclusive type engagement. But I think the blame game is the detriment. That's why we've been sitting for over a year. Because my question to government is, while you are trying to resolve this issue with the Grand Bahama Port Authority, can you point C. Allen Johnson to the document so I could know what is next for Grand Bahama, which includes Freeport? And so beyond the airport and beyond the hotel, there is, if you say on Grand Bahama, 20, 30, 40, 50% of the youth are unemployed. What is our strategy beyond the couple hundred jobs from the airport and from the hotel to bring them into play? So I think Bahamians have to stop allowing them to play us, which then bring me to another quick point. The housing, because we don't have critical mass, when I need to go build a house or even an apartment building, I have to order supplies for one building. That increases the cost significantly as to having a massive build-out of the housing that is needed in the so-called green Grand Bahama, digital Grand Bahama, or anything else. So now when I need to order 10,000 pieces of lumber, 100,000 bricks and everything else, the cost comes down significantly. So even if you want to enter the marketplace to resolve the issue of housing, it is because, again, comes back to the same question that Mr. Hayward mentioned. We need an immigration conversation in proper context of growth. And the Grand Bahama Port Authority has no authority to change the laws or policies or anything in regards to immigration. However, our current laws, and I would challenge any economist or any one of the people in government, current, past, or future, to explain to me how you go grow Grand Bahama without the influx of the immigrants that we need to grow that type of environment, and then answer the question, who's responsible for protecting or eliminating the fares of individuals on Grand Bahama or across the Bahamas? Because it's not just Grand Bahama. All those other islands that we have, right, is subject to potential for growth. But again, we see our population. We don't have the critical mass or the current intelligentsia to cause people to want to come here. So and so we could do like Singapore. Singapore, go and look for their first 25 years. Eventually, they said, we had to get it, but they had people prepared. Yes, and as you actually have qualified, competent humans, your immigration policy will then actually allow for their insertion and moving to part of this inclusive ownership and opportunity economy. And so I just think that we have allowed ourselves to be given a disservice to allow the master in the room, which is the government, to point to the Port Authority as a lack of development for Freeport, when the government has constructive control of the Bahamian economy, and the very prime minister sitting there during the by-election says that Grand Bahama has to play a key role in the development of the Bahamas. And I wasn't thinking he was talking about West End and Bimini exclusively in that conversation. He was talking to the broader Bahamas that was listening. And so people, I'm just simply saying, we as a people, we must stop allowing ourselves to be gaslighted. And instead of letting people say this one is the boogeyman and that one is the boogeyman, let them bring clear, concise conversation as to what the person is saying is wrong or misplaced. Because all you can say, they're wrong, but you have no evidence. Take my opinion. That goes to how I feel, how I think, how I believe. You know what they say, Naughty and Sarah? Let me understand this.
Yeah.
Naughty, you know your name, right? Sarah, you know your name is Sarah, right? You don't believe
yes.
your name is Sarah. You understand? You know. So I'm simply saying, in the conversation, for those of you all that don't know, you know, like for you, Sarah, for those who don't know Grand Bahama, sit down and shut up. Thank you.
Thank you, Adam, for your big contribution today. Sarah, you got a couple of other things to get in before we get out of here?
I do. And I have to thank Z. Allen. I mean, he is right. He gets frustrated like me. He does really care a lot about Grand Bahama. And we get very frustrated when people say things that they don't know about and they don't ask, which is why we appreciate this opportunity, Naughty, that you give us to explain things to people properly. So I give kudos to you. I just want to let you know, and for those who are members of the Grand Bahama Chamber of Commerce, voting is tomorrow for the new president. So I encourage you to look at our story about that and see who's running. And if you are a member, and if you're not a member, you can join. But that voting is tomorrow. We have a February roundup, but we have two really nice stories. Can I talk about them?
Go ahead, sir.
Is that okay, Naughty? Thank you, sir. We've got this great initiative being done by Omar Isaacs along with Island Bedding. I don't know if you know Island Bedding. They make beautiful beds here on our island, and they're teaming up and working with corporate companies and anyone who's interested in helping those who are less fortunate into getting decent bedding. We have a lot of issues with people who still haven't recovered from Dorian and are still, you know, sleeping on beds that probably are not appropriate for them or have been ruined. And so I really want everyone to look at that article today. It's also online in the 242. We had some good news. Also, West End will be getting some new equipment. This includes police cars and an ambulance. So that'll add to the lawnmower that you like to talk about, Naughty. And I also really want to thank the paper for doing a beautiful story on, if you get a chance to pick it up today, I really encourage you to look at the East End trip. A lot of people do not know about the beauty of the East End of Grand Bahama, particularly Sweetings Key, and a lovely place where you can drift through and see pretty much every fish that you could ever think about in the world. I know it's somewhere where our former Prime Minister Ingram used to love to go fishing. It is a gorgeous place, and it's a beautiful story about a young man who's doing a great job there, bringing tours. There are quite a few people who do those tours, and I encourage people to look into that as well. It's a really nice story covered today.
Well, we got this other call here now. Let's get to the other call. Talking Heads.
Yes, good evening.
How are
you? Good evening.
What I see, right, is that behemoth, right?
What's going on, Gardner? Long time no hear from, man. Everything cool?
Yeah, man. Everything cool. You know, Bahamas and the media, right? They got to realize that the Bahamas, right? And countries like the Bahamas, right? They live like small countries, Caribbean countries. They live, we are a tariff nation. Our government live, they survive on tariffs. You understand me? So the same thing that Donald Trump was doing, all them terror things, and they was. And then at the same time, we wanna live like we in a WTO environment. You understand? Like Freeport is a free this and free that. You know what I'm saying? And see, we gotta look at that, and that's the problem we have in this country. There's two sides. There's the left and there's the right. In other words, there's conservative side. You can be far conservative or socialist. Not communist, but socialist. You can be in the middle, too. But it seems like we ain't nowhere, you know? But you see, so like in terms of cost of living, generally the cost of living, we can never go down in the Bahamas because of our government. Our country, our government survives on terrorists. And until we change that, we'll never survive. This country, the masses in this country, but always have issues. And the rich in this country, they don't have no problems. We know that. You know, just look at the construction and the wholesale industry. You know, you got rich behemoths that run that thing, and they don't have no problem. They will never have problems. You see? No matter who they name, they could be black or white. You see? So until we decide where we want to, and I look at the government today, they call themselves a liberal party. Ain't no way they're a liberal party. You know? And they're like the UB, they better than the UBP. We in this country, then the people who call themselves intelligent in this country, they gotta wake up, man. They need to be honest with themselves, be honest with the masses, be honest with the people who they control and where they control. You know, they're the people that control the narratives in this country. And it's them responsible for our success or our failure. Thank you.
Thanks, Gardner. Sarah, you got anything to say before we wrap it up?
No, I just want to say thank you so much. I hope you're feeling better. I think we had a good discussion today. Thanks for letting me talk about all the stories. I'm hoping we're going to have some more. We'll be obviously telling you who won the chamber presidency race, and we'll be talking more about the challenges here in Grand Bahama. But hopefully, you know, it'll be getting better. We'll see what happens. But we are hoping a lot of things will get resolved soon.
I hope it all gets resolved for you guys soon as well, too.
Yeah. I know you're always pushing for us, which I adore.
All right, Sarah, appreciate you, and we'll do it again next week. Feel better.
All right, yeah, let's both get rid of this thing completely. It's horrible.
Hope you feel better. We'll do it again next Tuesday.
All right, thanks.
All right, we're gonna take a quick break. Flip side of the break, we got Cuban Willie's numerology report, brought to you across by the Island Game, and then we get into the 5 o'clock hour. We'll be talking sports. Purdy may be chiming in there; he's a little bit busy, but it's all good. We'll get to it. All right.
Go, never do what heathens do, cause just the foreign by the guidance. I'll never say what the wicked heart say, neither will I walk in the council no day. All the eyes be no guys, some and illusion I'll be always burning. Corruption and confusion will be shown in the ash bin. Careful, arrest the man with your false doctrine, your false teaching. Oh, what a sin thing. Justice in disguise, it's salvation that is seeking. From the throne of David, yeah, it's obvious that you're drifting. You have the respect for the king of all kings, so his name I'll be always exalting. So I'll never go where pagans go, never do what heathens do, cause trust the foreign give out the guidance. I'll never say what the dalitas say, for emperor Selassie I get trust and obey. Trust the words of your substance.
The KFC Chicken Experts have done it again with the new Kentucky Mesquite Chicken Sandwich. Featuring a large 100% premium 120-gram white meat filet topped with cheddar cheese, smoky bacon, lettuce, tomato, and tangy red onions. All drizzled with ranch sauce and served on a toasted brioche bun. Choose original recipe or spicy, but don't wait. This mouthwatering masterpiece is only here for a limited time and only at your favorite KFC. The new Kentucky Mesquite Chicken Sandwich at KFC. It's finger-licking good.
Cancer Treatment Centers of America is now City of Hope. creating one of the leading cancer care and research networks from coast to coast, providing more of what you need. More locations means more catalysts, means more expertise. More research means more breakthroughs. More advancements means more treatment options. And more options means more hope. Learn more at cancercenter.com.
I beat up a Pinda and I meet him in his showroom. I say, Pinda, I just come out of a showroom in Portugal and let me tell you something, them showroom and selection ain't got nothing on yours. Man, I like this stock of porcelain, this ceramic tile you got here. What I really like is the range of sizes that come in, 8x48, 12x24, 24x24. And what I really, really like, more than the things I really like, is the price. From $275 a square foot to $494 a square foot and all in between, you can't beat that. Not even with a 2x4 from Enterprises.
Always on the go? Missed the show? You can now listen to Guardian Radio talk shows anytime, anywhere on Spotify and YouTube by searching Guardian Radio 96.9 FM or by entering the name of your favorite show. You can also listen by logging on to guardiantalkradio.com and clicking on the podcast tab. Guardian Radio, continuing to provide you with fresh news and smart talk anywhere, anytime, all day.
All I do is win, 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 no matter what.
Feeling lucky? Here's Cuban Willie's numerology report. Brought to you by the Island Game.
Wepa, soy yo, Cuban Willie, and it's Tuesday, time for the four ball in my numerology report, brought to you, of course, by the Island Game. Four ball.
7014.
Play it and win with the Island Game. Stay winning, my friend.
This is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news and intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversations. 96.9 FM.
Yeah, 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 yeah. I'll never go in wrong congregation, boy. Boy, 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 boy. Rastaman upon vegan soul.
Talking Heads, Fifth Naughty is brought to you by Burger King, City of Hope, Fine Threads, Jazz in the Gardens, John's Department Store, Joker's Wild, Collect, KFC, Naughty Johnny's, NRG Nutrition, Percy's Island Games, Pindo Tile, Prince Masters, and Tropical Gyros.
I'll never go where the pagans go, never do what the heathens do, cause Rastafari by the guidance. I'll never say what the wicked heart say, neither will I walk in the council no day. Alias be no guy, so mythology and illusion I'll be always burning. Corruption and confusion will be shown in the ashwin. Carefully rust them on with your false doctrine, your false teaching. Oh, what a sin thing. Justice in disguise, it's salvation that you're seeking. From the children of David, yeah, it's obvious that you're drifting. You have the respect for the king of all kings, so his name I'll be always exalting. So I'll never go respect to what he then to us. Trust the foreign give out the guidance. I'll never say what the dolly say. For Emperor Selassie, I did trust and obey. Trust the words of your substance. I'll never go where pagans go. Never do what heathens do us. Trust the foreign give out the guidance. Never say what the wicked I say. Neither will I walk in the council no day. Alias be no guy, so I'll never go astray from my roots and my culture. Neither will I forget my homeland, Mama Africa. So go me come go and separate from the vipers, from the hypocrites and from the vampires. Hail the King of Kings, for we give it all the powers. Born in Ethiopia, look, it's written in the scriptures. Who are the righteous? Hey, they are the truth seekers. Go beyond to you, false leaders. So I'll never go where pagans go. Never do what heathens do, cause trust the foreign give out the guidance. I'll never say what the knowledge say. For Emperor Selassie, I trust and obey. Trust the words of your substance. I'll never go where pagans go. Never do what heathens do, cause
Rastafari give all the guidance and never say what the wicked are. In the council know they hey, Allah is my guide. So I'll never go. I'll never go where they go. Oh, I'll never stray. No way, no day. Yo, I'll never say what they say. Oh, I'll never go where they go. Rastafari, I will always follow. Me, the heathen can't come sway. No way, no day. Oh, 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 yeah, yeah, yeah. So, I'll never go where the pagans go. Never do what the heathen do.
We're back at you on the Tuesday, February 25th edition of Talking Heads. Your boy Nordy in your company right up until 6 p.m. Purdy may be chiming in today, but like I said, he's got some commitments as well. And I won't lie to you, man. I was discussing with Mr. Producer over the break. I am fading fast, man. This thing has got me again. My fever is back up. My throat is raspy, so I'm going to thug it through this hour. But, you know, I'm going to have some help, man, from some friends. Got some inserts from Colin Cowherd, from Rich Eisen, all right? And like I said, we got some good things to discuss, though. So, you know, and those points will be well discussed as well because there's some good topics, all right? So we'll be bringing them up. I'll you know, billboard them as they come and segue into them, all right? And like I said, I still got your trivia this one. That's right. I got that love bucket up for grab. And you have to just answer the sports trivia. Answer my sports trivia. And you will be good to go, all right? First person to text the answer in or call the answer in will be my winner, all right? And like I said, you got that whole bucket, that love bucket from KFC Nassau. You definitely want to take advantage of that. It is fully loaded. Got your favorite KFC chicken. You got the biscuits. You got the sides. Yeah, man, it is all good. You definitely want to check it out, all right? Now, here we go. Here's your question for today. And the first answer in is the winner. All right, Mr. Producer will get your information. He'll put your name on the certificate, and you can pick up the certificate from the Nassau Guardian offices. All right, here we go. Hit you up with one yesterday. I got another one for you. All right, what do you call it when a bowler makes three strikes in a row? What do you call it when a bowler makes three strikes in a row? First person to answer the question correctly is going to be my winner. All right, and you get that KFC love bucket. While you work on that answer, I'm going to jump in to Today in Sports History, all brought to you, of course, by Naughty Johnny's. Well worth the trip out there to the Old Fort Shopping Plaza, Monday through Friday, great for lunch and dinner. Then on the weekend, Saturday and Sunday, great for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. Naughty, you keep coming back to work too quick. Get your rest and drink your bush medicine. Boy, I believe I got to take it. Yeah, man, I might have to do that, especially the bush medicine. All right, here we go. On this day in sports history, and boy, a lot happened on this day, February 25th, 1940. The New York Rangers and Montreal Canadiens played the first hockey game to be televised in the U.S. The game was aired on W2 WBS in New York with one camera in a fixed position. The Rangers beat the Canadiens 6-2. 1941, the Boston Bruins set an NHL record after going 20. Their record during the stretch was 15-0-8. 1951, the first Pan American Games opened in Buenos Aires, Argentina. In 1957, the U.S. Supreme Court ruled 6-3 that baseball was the only professional sport exempt from antitrust laws. 1964, Cassius Clay, later known as Muhammad Ali, became heavyweight boxing champion in an upset victory over Sonny Liston. 1978, O.J. Simpson was a guest on Saturday Night Live. 1981, the Boston Bruins and the Minnesota North Stars set a record for the most penalties in a game. There were 84 penalties that totaled 392 minutes. 1989, Jerry Jones, the owner of the Dallas Cowboys, fired head coach Tom Landry after a 29-year career on the golf course. And you don't think karma has come back to bite Jerry for that 30 years later? Oh, boy. 1995, Major League Baseball announced the regular season game would be played in Hawaii for the first time. 2002, Jason Williams, the former NBA star, surrendered to New Jersey police. He was charged with second-degree manslaughter in the death of Costas Christofi. Christofi was killed by a shotgun that was recklessly handled by Williams. Williams was released on $250,000 bail. 2005, it was announced that the Walt Disney Company had agreed to sell the Anaheim Mighty Ducks to billionaire Henry Samueli and his wife, Susan. Samueli's company was the operator of Arrowhead Pond, the Mighty Ducks' home arena. Sports quote of the day, I didn't like this, but I'm not a big fan. I'm not a rockabilly fan, and the 60s and early 70s were, to me, the greatest times to be alive. Brett Hull, hockey player, hockey legend. All right. But I got... All right, let's go. Let's go to the phone lines. Talking Heads.
Hello?
Hey, Talking Heads. Have you got an answer for the trivia? I got a winner already. The text lines beat you. No, it's not. It's called a turkey. You're right, but I got an answer already.
Oh, you got an answer.
Yeah, via the text lines. They beat you to it. But yeah, it is called a turkey. Thanks for playing. Try me again tomorrow. Mr. Producer, I have the winner right here. Right here in the phone, so make sure I get the information for me. And they can pick it up, you know, from the Guardian offices. But we do have a winner. It is called a turkey. All right, now that we got that out of the way. All right, now we can get into the local sports scene, all brought to you for us by Burger King Nassau. Let's check out the local scene, and then we'll go international, all brought to you, of course, by Tropical Gyros. All right. Check out the local scene real quick. And there it is, tucked away. Tabby takes the title. Falcons win record ninth Hugh Campbell basket. Well, I know this could be long again tonight. My wife, my beautiful wife, MJ, proud Grand Bahamian. Oh, boy, this could be long. Tabernacle Falcons. Congratulations to the Tabernacle Falcons again. And it turned out to be one of the best championship games in the history of the Hugh Campbell Basketball Classic. The Tabernacle Baptist Academy Falcons reigned supreme, holding on late to defeat the C.I. Gibson Rattlers 89-87 in overtime at the Kendall G.L. Isaacs National Gymnasium on Monday. And it's their ninth title. Congratulations to them. They did a wonderful job. And I it's officially look like Freeport really trying to own that Hugh Campbell trophy. Karifta qualifiers soared to over 40. There's really a time when we would have an excess of 40 qualifiers for the Karifta games at this point in the season. This coming from Bahamas Association of Athletics Association, BAAA President Dramico Archer on Monday. The number of qualifiers for the Bahamas for the 2025 Karifta games soared to 45 over the weekend, with some athletes qualifying at the second annual Red Nine Athletic Field events. So there you go. Teams looking strong and looking big. And according to our local federation, NBA stars will be available for the FIBA AmeriCup. For the first time in 30 years and just the second time ever, the Bahamas is headed to the FIBA AmeriCup tournament on the senior side, formerly known as the FIBA Americas Championship or Tournament of the Americas. The Bahamas senior men's basketball national team blasted Cuba 97-74 on Thursday and fell to the United States 105-83 on Sunday, both at the Kendall G.L. Isaacs National Gymnasium. They finished with a 2-4 win-loss record in Group D of the FIBA International Basketball Federation AmeriCup 2025 qualifiers, earning a second-place standing in the group. The U.S. won the group with a 5-1 record. But we will have Buddy Hield, DeAndre Ayton, and of course, so that team's going to look good. It's going to be solid. All right, let's slide into the international, who's in and who's out, all brought to you, of course, by Tropical Gyros. And we got lots to talk about, man. But I'll tell you one thing, speaking of who's in and who's out, there's been a lot of talk recently about Travis Kelce in Kansas City and if he's actually going to be in Kansas City next year. A lot of rumors about his retirement, but the Kansas City Chiefs are saying they're expecting Travis Kelce back. So what's it going to be? Here's Rich Eisen breaking it down for you.
Chris Brockman, you said at the end of hour number one that there's news a-popping at the NFL Scouting Combine.
News a-popping.
You said it's a contract, a new contract.
Yep.
And then someone's returning. Let's do the returning one first, since that must be of somebody who's very famous and a big, bold-faced name individual. Hit the drop. Go for it, Jay Felly. Go for it.
Here it comes.
Boom! And Maria, I see.
Breaking news.
Best breaking news drop in the business. I can't imagine there's a better one.
Can't imagine there's a better one.
Well, with the Oscars coming up, that's almost a year old of Al Pacino. My eyes, see.
Oh, my goodness.
Chris?
What a year we've had.
Here it comes.
Rich. Chiefs general manager Brett Veach says the team is anticipating that Travis Kelce We'll be back next year. We got some sound?
Okay, we do.
Let's hit it.
Okay.
How we left at the end of the season is that he was fired up. He has one more year under contract. Still think he has that fire and desire to play. And as far as I'm concerned, there is no deadline. I think we left it as he'd be back, and we're excited to get him back and get him going.
All right. Now, so he's not definitely, it's like Travis hasn't said the words.
No, we have no idea what Travis is thinking.
And I imagine he will make such an announcement on the New Heights pod. Like, content is his own content.
Right.
In this day and age, a player makes an announcement. They don't do it in a press release or in a tweet. They'll do it on their own pod and get all the downloads from it. And he'll be telling Jason yay or nay. But Brett Veach saying the way that they left it, we had Diana Rossini on last week saying that it's her belief that Travis Kelce will come back. And I will say one more time, I would love that. It would be outstanding. It would be great to see. I can't imagine, you know, if he has a choice about how he wishes to leave the game, this past game is not the way he would want to do it. That said, he knows what it takes to get his body ready. It's one of those situations where they pay him to practice and get his body ready, and he would play the games for free or hang out with the guys for free. The question is there the rest of his life that is waiting for him in a way that is already set up in a way that I can't recall another player having it already set up for himself? Honestly, I can't recall the last player. Was Brady the last guy to have the world as his oyster all set up for him in the manner in which he ever wants to do it? But Brady wasn't also, I mean, when Brady retired, the only entertainment aspect was what, hanging out with Rita Moreno, right? For Brady.
And nobody thought he was going to be in the booth or anything.
You know what I mean? But Travis is set up in any way he wants to do it, absolutely any way he wants to do it. And I also would imagine it keeps his, one would say, podcast as relevant as ever, that he's still playing.
Yeah.
So I hope this is the case.
Like a buffalo.
Like the rent.
There you have it. Kansas City's expecting him back. Kelce says he's coming back. Maybe he wants to make that one more swan song run with the podcast, with his brother. You know, make sure they're set for after life after football. And who knows? Maybe the league wants to see Kansas City make one more run at the Super Bowl. And, you know, Kelce wants to be part of that. Kansas City, look, they're still not a horrible team. They're still one of the better teams in the AFC. Quite capable of going back to the Super Bowl. And you know they're going to make adjustments. You know they're going to make improvements. Let's go to the phone lines. Talking Heads.
Hey, Naughty. It's me again.
Hey, what's happening?
Hey, Naughty. You know that new Cowboy game, right? I watched a bit of it on last night on TV, right? And, man, that game looks strange to me. You know?
Well, I didn't see the game, so let me know what you're talking about.
Like the speed of the game, right? And play the game, I didn't see a guard who could control the tempo of the game. Right?
The game's changed, Gardner. You don't see traditional point guards anymore.
Man. I mean, I watched the college basketball. I watched the WNBA. I watched high school ball in the U.S. You know, that game is different, bro. Than the one we play here. So, you understand me? Like, and then everybody's chucking up three point threes. I've seen a million shots in one game, bro.
The game has changed. The game has changed.
So what accounts for that, man? Is it that we don't have enough coaches or something? Or how is that?
You mean the game? Our coaching here compared to their coaching styles compared to what's going on in the States?
Right.
I mean, I think some have it in their program. Some try to tap into that. Mm. Others haven't. And it's like evolution. You have to evolve. If not, you're going to become extinct.
I mean, like they running up and down, up and down, up and down, up and down. No. Like, it's mad to me. You got to control the tempo, bro. I ain't seen a slow game yet.
Ooh, Mike D'Antoni is the coaching.
No, man, that's weird, Jed. I mean, you know, at least you would have a guard who could slow the tempo. You know, you could have a half-court set, like in the half-court set, right? You see these long passes, just passes, long passes. You know, it's like no, there's no guard who could put the ball on the floor five times and make a pass. You know what I mean? Or a point guard or off guard who could do that. You see? It's, man.
Good points there, Gardner. Good points. Yeah. I got to get to the break, man, but I'm glad you noticed it. Good points. Yeah. Good stuff. Look to hear from you again. All right, we'll take the first break, flip side of the break. We'll be back. We'll be talking more sports. And, of course, you know, we got something very interesting to check out as well, too. We got the breakdown. Colin Cowherd's got it for you. Has LeBron meshed with Luka? And has Jimmy Butler made the Warriors a title contender? I think so. We'll get to that and more on the flip side of the break as the Tuesday, February 25th edition of Talking Heads continues right after this.
Order my steps, soldier. The way is dark and I'm alone. But still I fear no foe, no.
Get to stacking up the flavor at Burger King Nassau with its new Stacker King lineup. It doesn't get any bigger, better, or meatier than the Stacker Kings, which feature bacon, cheese, and a delicious stacker sauce, all piled on as many flame-grilled Whopper patties as you can handle. For the chicken, or pile your mornings high with a croissant sandwich stacker loaded with meat, cheese, and stacker sauce on a warm, flaky croissant. Don't miss out on the bold flavors of the Stacker King collection, available at Burger King Nassau.
Penda has a new line. The Sky series of porcelain comes in four colors: Sky Noir, Sky Gris, Sky Glance, and this one, Sky Azure. As the name suggests, you would think it has a strong blue component, but the blue is kind of like just a hint in the overall coloring of the porcelain. The blue feature runs more or less the center of the tile, and that's surrounded by light shades of gray. The Sky Azure, like the others in the series, needs to be seen to be appreciated. Stop by Penda Tile and have a look at Sky Azure, one of the four in the Sky series.
Cancer Treatment Centers of America is now City of Hope, creating one of the leading cancer care and research networks from coast to coast, providing more of what you need. More locations means more care closer to home. More specialists means more expertise. More research means more breakthroughs. More advancements means more treatment options. And more options means more hope. Learn more at cancercenter.com.
You're listening to Talking Heads with Naughty, only on Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM.
So, you know, sometimes people get blamed for stuff, and sometimes they're at fault. But Jimmy Butler is one of those guys that throughout his NBA career, a lot of finger pointing. Jimmy's a problem. But I had said about a month ago, the Warriors need to create some inertia. They're boring. Steph looks bored. They just look bored. And Jimmy Butler gets people worked up. He's like, he works hard at practice. He'll get after a coach. Well, the Warriors are now 5-1 since Jimmy Butler arrived. By the way, how are his old team, the Sixers, doing with Joel Embiid straight? And Embiid got benched yesterday. And remember, Embiid was the franchise. Jimmy Butler in Philadelphia was viewed as a problem. He was also viewed as a problem in Chicago, where he led them to the second round of the playoffs, and they've been unwatchable since. He goes to Minnesota, great numbers, playoffs. They blamed him there. He goes to Miami. They didn't blame him. Last 4 years, finals twice. Miami, a very strong organization, figured out, hey, Jimmy's not for everybody, but what Jimmy creates is intensity. And in the NBA, all these guys are talented. I mean, you don't make the NBA. Just think of how great you have to be in the NBA. But I would argue there's not that many winning players. LeBron's not just talented, he's a winning player. Steph Curry's a winning player. Draymond Green is a classic, not as talented as a lot of guys, but a winning player. Well, that's Jimmy Butler. Bulls, playoffs. T-Wolves, playoffs. Miami Heat, finals. And here he goes to the Warriors. So the Warriors were kind of a lifeless offense. When Steph was off the floor, Pods was like sometimes a one or a two. You can never count on Wiggins. Well, now they have a number two. And what he's doing, he's getting to the free throw line. So the Warriors just didn't get to the free throw line. And that is part of being a winning player. And that's what Jimmy Butler is. Right? I just looked this morning. Free throws made, they were near the bottom of the NBA. Since he arrived, they're first to the NBA. Since he's arrived, they're second. That is what a winning player does. And this organization needed fight, needed feisty, needed to get to the line, needed contact. And Jimmy is not, by the way, Miami Heat 1-5 since he left, Warriors 5-1 since he arrived. And again, I get that Butler's not for everybody, but this is what I said a month ago. This is a boring team. They don't have any offensive energy. If Steph's not on the floor, they're unwatchable. Jimmy Butler will just create things. He'll get on his coaches, his teammates. Practice will be harder. And he's a really nice offensive player. And the thing with Butler, he's not a naturally gifted offensive player. He is a grinder. So he gets banged up. He plays hard. But when you watch the Warriors today, now Pods is their third or their fourth guy. Steph's their one. Butler's their two. Kuminga. Now everybody, it's like a pitching staff that gets a true number two starter behind their ace, and it sets up everybody else to go against a pitcher that's of the same talent. So they were asking guys like Pods and to do things he's not capable of. They wanted more consistency from Kuminga. At this point, you don't always get that. You know exactly what you get with Jimmy Butler. He has created a lot of things, free throws made. They'll be better defensively, better in the half-court offense. And Steve Kerr, 5-1 since he arrived, talked about Jimmy. For the record, Joel Embiid has become mostly a big truck that half the time you can't even get out of the garage. He's getting benched. He won't play back-to-backs. And this is an organization where people are going to lose their jobs because Embiid is not delivered. He may have the worst contract now in professional sports. He's getting hurt more often. I've never seen him as a leader, but it was Embiid. Sometimes talent. Remember Durant and Westbrook. Nobody can deny Westbrook's energy, production, and talent. And Sam Presti's a brilliant GM, but KD's like, I'm the better player by far. Can I get a little love? And I think Daryl Morey's a smart guy, but in the end, Embiid struggles. Forget getting along with teammates. Embiid struggles to play well with others. Hell, he struggled at the Olympics. Remember the Olympics? He was the one guy that didn't work at the Olympics. Butler can work with any team. There is no team. I don't care if he went to the Knicks or the Celtics tomorrow. Butler works with every team. He makes every team better. He gets into the playoffs. Yes, he can wear you out. Some relationships don't last forever. Steph Curry doesn't wear people out. Jimmy can wear people out, but he'll make your basketball team better. All right, something else that happened over the weekend. So this has been a long time coming, and this is not a shot at LeBron James. But LeBron now is in what, year 22? LeBron, at his best, is going to give you amazing 4- and 5-minute flashes of brilliance. But he cannot be the initiator of the offense anymore. If Luka sits down, he can be. If Luka's playing and LeBron sits down, Austin Reeves also capable of being a playmaker. J.J. Redick finally said the quiet part out loud as the Lakers beat Denver, is that Luka had his highest usage rate. This is how the Lakers should play. Because remember, as great as Kyrie Irving was in Cleveland, he was relegated to a shooting guard with LeBron and probably should have been. As great as D. Wade was in Miami, he was relegated to off ball, and he's not a great pure shooter. LeBron has been such a force of nature and so great for so long that everybody wants him to play off ball, and AD's great, but AD can't be the playmaker. So LeBron's entire career, it's not that LeBron's selfish. I always use a statistic with LeBron James. He averaged like 28 a game his junior year in high school. He could have averaged 60 his senior year. You know what he averaged? One more point his senior year. LeBron wants to pass. He likes to be a playmaker. I've always felt he's more Magic Johnson than Michael Jordan. He wants others to score, but he likes to control the offense. Finally, he has a teammate. This is due to two things. Luka's a really good playmaker, and LeBron's now 40. So the combination of the two, a transformational young talent in Luka, and the fact that LeBron is older and is great in spurts. But in the Denver game, when LeBron didn't have to be the initiator of offense, his usage rate was only 29%. That's well below his average. Did you also notice since Luka arrived what's happened to LeBron's efficiency? It's gone through the roof. So he's fresh for those flurries late in the round, late in the quarter, late in the sequence, late in the half, late in the game. So this is finally, and now, it's working now. Somebody said this to me years ago, and it was really smart about LeBron. Whenever you play with LeBron, you are playing in LeBron's offense. You just have to figure out. Now, Kyrie got really frustrated with LeBron because of his age and because I think Luka's even, I mean, listen, Kyrie's an all-time talent, but I think he looks at Luka and goes, okay, finally. As much as I loved AD, he's not a playmaker. Luka is, Austin Reeves is, LeBron is, but this is what J.J. Redick said after this win in Denver, and this is the quiet part finally being said out loud. Nobody's ever said that. Like, that has been thought about privately. It's been whispered. It's been, you know, it'd probably be the whole AD time. We kept waiting for the baton pass. That against Denver, that was the baton pass.
All right. So we'll see. We'll see how it pans out for the Lakers. But I, like I said, and I told Pearly yesterday, I think the Lakers are going to give teams matchup-wise some difficulty in the playoffs. But when you get to a team that can shoot, space the floor, and has some athletic bigs, it's going to be the undoing of the Lakers. But anything from this point on is house money because Pelinka pulled off the trade. The Lakers got the better end of that deal. And AD is injured, taking nothing from him when he's on the court. So let's see how it pans out. And as a matter of fact, Dallas and the Lakers hook up tonight, as a matter of fact. And here are my, you know, pro picks all brought to you for us by the Island Game. And don't forget, if you're a bracketologist, log on to the Island Game. All right, theislandgame.com. They've got something huge going on for March Madness. You get a perfect bracket, you win $250,000. Closest bracket to being correct or the best bracket with the least amount wrong, you're going to win $3,000. Oh, many ways to play and win with the Island Game. The game you know, the game you trust. And the Island Game always reminds you to play responsibly. All right, here's who I like tonight. You got the Celtics and the Raptors. I'll take the Celtics in the money line. They are horrible against big spreads. It's an 11.5-point spread. I'll take the Celtics to win by the money line. Cleveland Cavaliers, 8-point favorites over the Orlando Magic. I might take the Magic plus the 8 points. I think the Cavaliers are going to win the game, so I'll say Cavs in the money line. But if you take the Magic and 8 points, that's not a bad bet whatsoever. Right there. Trust me. Magic played tough at home. They got some people back. They were always good against the spread. That might be an option for you as well, too. Milwaukee Bucks, plus 3.5 on the road against the Houston Rockets. I like the Houston Rockets to win this one. They play tight, though. Yeah, these tiny spreads sometimes come back to bite Houston, so I'm going to play it safe and say Houston in the money line. Memphis Grizzlies, 7.5-point favorites over the Phoenix Suns. Phoenix is injured from top to bottom. A lot of people not playing, and Memphis is at home. They're coming off a loss. They always play well coming off a loss. I like them to get the Suns on the road. Give me the Grizzlies minus the 7.5. New Orleans Pelicans minus 3 over the San Antonio Spurs on the road. No Wemby for the Spurs. I got to go with the Pelicans minus 3. And they got people back, including Zion. I'll take the Pelicans minus the 3. Golden State Warriors, 17-point favorites over the Charlotte Hornets. That's way too big of a spread. Give me the Warriors in the money line. Lakers and the Mavericks. There's nobody healthy for the Mavericks. Luka's coming back. They're playing in L.A., but it's still a rivalry game now for Luka. He got this on his target. So I'm going to say take the Lakers and minus the 9 points. I think they blow the Mavericks out tonight in Los Angeles. All right, that's a wrap right there on my pro picks, all brought to you, of course, by the Island Game. We're going to take a quick break, and then the final 20 today, got Rich Eisen and Albert Breers from Sports Illustrated having a good conversation on the potential departure of Matthew Stafford from the Rams to the Giants. He's looking for a $50 million contract. Giants potential suit is there. In addition to that, he'll be talking the NFL draft and some of the key components in that, as well as potentially Myles Garrett on the move from the Cleveland Browns. That's all coming up on the flip side of the break, all right? Good stuff, everybody who called in, chimed in. We'll take us home, and we'll see you tomorrow right here on Talking Heads. Be good, Bahamas, and if you can't be good at it.
Are the wicked in a Babylon store, yeah, if you're weak? Whoa, be my cause, oh Jah, and let me stand firm. When the wicked rise again.
NRG is nutrition. Check out our world-famous smoothies, signature quinoa dishes. We have the best salads and breakfast fit for a king and his queen. Open for breakfast, lunch, and now dinner. Each order is made with love and the highest quality ingredients and is nutritionally balanced. Visit any of our three locations. Old Fort Bay, open until 7:30 p.m. West Bay Street and Gladstone Road in the Monroe's Complex, open until 4 p.m. Follow us on Instagram and Facebook at NRG Bahamas. NRG, nutrition ready to go.
With fine style, with elegant taste, then Fine Threads is your place. If you want those slacks hemmed or just taking the waist, then Fine Threads is your place. If you want to look suave and debonair everywhere you go, like you're supposed to be in a video. Want to step out and look great? Then Fine Threads is your place. With fine style, with elegant taste, then Fine Threads is your place. Is your place. Is your place.
John Shoes and Accessories is your one-stop shop for all your footwear needs. You will find what you're looking for among the growing collection of classic and trendy styles with new arrivals every week. John's covers the whole family and has great prices, helpful and friendly customer service. Your experience shopping with us will be time well spent. Shop with us online at www.johnshoes.com. John's also now carries small home appliances. So come on into John's, located on Rosetta Street in Palmdale and Carmichael Road West. John's, we put fashion at your feet.
The KFC chicken experts have done it again with the new Kentucky Mesquite Chicken Sandwich, featuring a large 100 filet topped with cheddar cheese, smoky bacon, lettuce, tomato, and tangy red onions, all drizzled with ranch sauce and served on a toasted brioche bun. Choose original recipe or spicy, but don't wait. This mouthwatering masterpiece is only here for a limited time and only at your favorite KFC. The new Kentucky Mesquite Chicken Sandwich at KFC. It's finger-licking good.
You're listening to Talkin' Heads with Naughty, only on Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM.
Yeah, 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 I never go in wrong congregation, boy, 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 Rastaman up on vegan, so
I'll be going to the Combine on Wednesday. Susie will be sitting in the chair Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. I'll zoom in every now and then just to tell you what's up, what's going on in Indianapolis. And what it is it's just it's the annual re-kick to the NFL season. The off-season is going down in full swing, and there's lots to talk about. So when I reach out to Albert Breer to say, hey, would love to have you on, and he's just like, well, is it okay if I do it from Logan Airport? My answer is absolutely. Just make sure you pick me up in Us Magazine, so we can see who does it just like me. You know what I mean? And I believe he's just completed doing that.
$12 water.
After getting, yeah, his $12 water, yeah. Maybe a pretzel. Although you don't strike me as a pretzel guy, Albert. Are you a pretzel guy?
I'm not a big pretzel guy. Mm. You have Dunkin' Donuts over here because it is
course.
Boston. That's within sight. Obviously. And okay. Hudson News, like, so hey. I can get your Us Magazine there.
That's right.
Yeah, get your Us Magazine there.
Pick me up in Us. Let me know.
Yeah.
And hand it to me in front of, you know, everybody at the Combine. And, you know, it'll spark questions, as always is.
Good conversation piece. It definitely would be.
So what, in your estimation, going into the scouting combine, do you think?
I mean, Albert. You're talking about like NFL in general or just the college?
You name it. You name it. What is?
I think the quarterback carousel is really what it is. And, you know, I think the part of this is driven by the fact that there are a lot of teams that that don't view there being many answers in this year's draft class at the position. And so, you know, if you're not wild about Cam Ward and Shedeur Sanders, and just about every team I've talked to has said the first three guys last year, Caleb Williams, Jaden Daniels, and Drake May, would be the number one overall pick this year. So if you're not wild about the idea of Cam Ward or Shedeur Sanders or Jackson Dart, then you're looking at the veteran market. And I think as unsettled as Matthew Stafford's situation is, that's something that I think, you know, comes to a critical point this week with everybody in one place. Where does Aaron Rodgers fit into all of this? How does Sam Darnold play into all of this? Russell Wilson. There's actually like a fair amount of veteran names out there. And in my mind, at least, the big domino is Matthew Stafford and what happens with him. And once that's settled, I think then we see some other pieces maybe start to come into place.
So then let's hit it, because I just finished up the first hour of the show saying that every now and then there's just an NFL story where I don't get it. And, you know, Matthew Stafford and the Rams parting ways would be one of those. Like, I don't get it. We're obviously, you know, the team that came closest to beating the Eagles in the playoffs were the Rams. And Stafford doesn't appear to be slowing down. He appears to be even getting better with age. And why would he want to leave the Rams too? So what is this? What is going on right now, Robert?
The first couple of things I want to establish here. I don't think he wants to leave Southern California. I think he really likes living in Southern California. Our relationship is still on really solid ground. This is about the contract. It goes back to last year. They had a six-month negotiation that really didn't end in a solution. It ended in a Band-Aid. He got a $5 million raise on paper, but that $5 million was only borrowed money from future years. So $4 million from 25 and $1 million from 26. And, you know, when a team does that with a player, it's basically an acknowledgement. We're going to be back at the negotiating table a year from now because this player is not going to play for this lower number. Play for the lower number, then you didn't get a raise at all. There was that acknowledgement that they would revisit things when they removed the guaranteed money from 25 last summer. I think this thing, the complications that existed last year still exist. I think the biggest thing you want to look at here, Rich, is timelines and where the teams are and where the sides are. And Matthew Stafford's 37 years old and everything's about right now for Matthew Stafford. He's been through a lot physically. The quarterback market has once again gone way past what he's making. There are 9 quarterbacks now making over $50 million per year, and rightfully so. He feels like he should be in that group of quarterbacks that's making over that number. You know, on the other side, you've got the Rams who are looking at it and saying, okay, well, we've got a younger team now, and we're the second youngest team in football. And we're building around Puka Nacua and Kyron Williams and Kobe Turner and Byron Young and Jared Verse and Braden Fisk and all these great young players that Les Snead and Sean McVay have gotten there. And it's, do we go all in at $50 million with a guy when we may not be sure he's going to play a second year, a third year on whatever the new contract is? And that's what causes you to look around a little bit. If another team is willing to swoop in and give you a first-round pick, is Aaron Rodgers willing to come to Los Angeles on a discounted rate? And then he's our one-year answer. Instead of Stafford being our one-year answer, we save all this money. And, oh, by the way, we get all of these picks as part of the exchange. It's, I think, another example of the Rams looking at things a little bit differently than other teams do. I think it's a result of Matthew Stafford looking at it and saying, I've only got so many more years to earn left, and I should be making what I'm worth. And, again, I think just the timelines of the two sides are in different places. You know, the Rams forever were this win now machine, you know, like we'll do whatever it takes. We'll move any assets around to win right now. That's what Matthew Stafford came into in 2021. It's an organization in a different spot right now.
So what's the timeline to get something decided, right? Is it the new league year, Albert?
Yeah.
It
is. Yeah. Well, a roster bonus. I don't have it in front of me, but I believe it's a roster bonus that I think is due in the middle of March that is sort of the, and I think it's, I don't think it's even like that costly. I think it might be $5 million. It's something like if you're the Rams, you know, you don't want to pay out, you know, whatever that roster bonus is, you don't want to pay that out if he's not going to be on your team this year. So, I mean, for that reason, that's sort of a deadline that sits in there. And you also, if you're the Rams, like, hey, like if you're not going to be our quarterback this year, well, we want to be in on Aaron Rodgers, on Sam Darnold. We need to figure out what we're going to do with Jimmy Garoppolo, who Sean McVay really likes, by the way. That's sort of where they are. So I would say, I mean, it's not like it's a hard deadline, the middle of March, but I'd say you want to do it because this is the week when you might have a cup of coffee with Sam Darnold's agent. You might sit down with Aaron Rodgers' agent and discuss all of these things, you know? So this is a critical week, I'd say, for Stafford and for the Rams to figure out where they're at going into 2025.
Have numbers been exchanged and thus deemed by either party on, you know, not seeing eye to eye on that, and thus in Stafford's shopping, allowed to shop? Like, what's
this? Yeah, so here's what's interesting about it. I know Tom said to mention that on your show, yep. right? Like on Friday, right?
Mm-hmm.
That he has permission. He's had permission for 2.5 weeks now. He got permission from the Rams to go talk to other teams during Super Bowl week. So they've had a lot of time to look at this and gauge his value. And, you know, so the teams you'd expect, the Giants, the Steelers, the Browns, the Raiders, are in that mix. Now, I don't know what each team offered. I'm sure some teams were probably short of the $50 million number. What I can say is, coming out of that, I think he felt more resolute that $50 million, that, like, that he should be in that class. Now, that doesn't mean he's going to hold a gun to the Rams' head and say, you got to give me $50 million or I'm out of here. But $27 million, which is where he's at in cash for 2025, is not close to 50, you know? So the Rams have to get a hell of a lot closer, at least, I think, to work this out. And, you know, again, like, that's sort of the risk in letting him go out and take a look. Is you let him go take a look, like, he might get an answer that you don't like. And, like, my understanding, again, is that he came out of this with more resolve, that his worth is in that range where with the top nine quarterbacks.
If this doesn't get done, and I'm Rodgers or yep. Darnold or Kirk Cousins, if I'm sitting on the bench in Atlanta, name the I'd want to be the guy in Los Angeles. Send me to the Rams. Yeah. I mean, certainly if you're Rodgers, my goodness gracious. Like, what
lives in Malibu.
Not just that though. I mean, you know, you're pushing 41 and you get to finish with the Rams with McVay and Puka, and you know, maybe if Kupp isn't there, then maybe Devontae comes there too. You know, Devontae wants to be on the West Coast according to all the, you know, the narratives. I mean, my yep. goodness, if you're Darnold also, you know, you just blossomed under Kevin O'Connell. Well, we all know where the tree is.
Yep.
It's McVay.
And he's like, from LA too.
This is it. I mean, like, yeah. what an opportunity this right. would be for anybody, including right. Stafford, I might add, you know?
Yeah. It's fascinating because I do think the Rams, like, I mean, they know what they have to sell.
Yeah.
They have a lot to sell, you know? And, oh, by the way, like, if you're Kirk Cousins, like, we'll throw another name out there, you're yeah. coming on the league minimum. And now all of a sudden the Rams have, like, all this cash to spend that maybe they didn't have before. You know what I mean? Like, so now they can go be aggressive around Kirk Cousins while maintaining that young core. You know, it's just, again, like, it's like a different way of answering the question, but it's interesting to think about, because we shouldn't forget, like, how good Stafford is, and that Matthew Stafford had them like on in a snowstorm.
Yeah.
You know, and we saw what the Eagles did to the Commanders, and we saw what the Eagles did to the Chiefs. So, like, Matthew Stafford had them there, and coming back against that defense that gave Patrick Mahomes so many issues. You know, so, like, on one hand, you look at it and you say, well, like, why would you walk away from that if you're Stafford? On the other hand, it's not just one player that was there. It was the whole team that was there. So that could be an attractive situation for another quarterback as well, especially when you consider, again, if you're Rodgers willing to take less, or your Cousins who comes in on the minimum because of the offset, you might say to yourself, like, wow, like, I can go play for that team and they're going to have room to spend around me. Like, sign me up for that.
Albert Breer here on the Rich Eisen Show, getting set to fly off to Indianapolis within the hour to head to the combine. And I've seen you work rooms and hallways, Albert. And I understand, you know, you mentioned the quarterback class coming in,
yeah,
and its relation to the free agent market. Outside of that, what's the first answer you're going to want answered when you see a decision maker's in the combine, and you work a room and you're working a hallway? What are you looking to get an answer to, Albert?
What position is Travis Hunter going to play?
Okay. Go for it.
I, I just think he's the most interesting draft prospect. I've covered the league 20 years. This will be my 18th combine. I think he's the most interesting player to come into the NFL in my time covering it. I did a big column that went up this morning previewing the class and the combine. And I had our mutual friends, Daniel Jeremiah and Todd McShay as the voices in there. DJ compared Travis Hunter as a receiver to Devontae Smith and as a corner to Darius Slay. Todd McShay compared Travis Hunter to Garrett Wilson. So, I mean, you think about like how rare that is, right? Like, think about that. Like, that he could be that good a player on both sides of the ball. So, you know, I think going into this, I think most teams look at him and say, we'll have him as a corner and we'll package him on defense, which, by the way, is how Colorado used him. Colorado played him full-time on offense, but he was doing his meeting time, his practice time, all of that was on defense. And they were coming up with packages to incorporate him into the offense and signaling routes in from the sideline to kind of help him make it work. Can you do that in the pros? I think one underrated storyline on him for this week is how much he weighs. You know what I mean? Is he in the 170s or is he in the 190s? That's going to, you know, play right into that durability question of whether or not he can hold up playing both ways. It's just, I don't know. I mean, I think when you and DJ are sitting up in that booth, on over the weekend, Rich, it's such a rich conversation. There's so much to it. I think he's the most interesting player that I've covered, you know, going into a combine in 20 years covering the league.
Well, speaking to the same individuals that you spoke to, and McShay and Daniel, and obviously we had Dion on at the Super Bowl, and Mayock and others, and I'm just putting together the pieces here on Travis Hunter. The general sense is he's going to be a corner. That's where he's going to play all of his, you know, snaps, with the exception of a package on offense. And then there's a question as to how large that package is and how many snaps, 6, 10, 15. And that's the general sense. Because as Dion said, there's no way a coach in the NFL can have somebody intense and be the best playmaker on your offense standing next to you when the offense is out on the field. That is the way Travis Hunter is coming into this league. That's the general sense I'm getting on this.
Yeah, it really is crazy. And, you know, it's a great credit to the kid, too. Obviously, natural ability plays into this. There aren't that many people that can pull this off physically, if there have been any, you know, in recent years. I also think, and this is something that like a lot of the guys who are on the road in the fall have said to me over the course of the last few months, like the level of conditioning and the level of mental toughness and mental focus and just, I mean, all those things that kind of fall under the heading of football character that it takes to pull off what he pulled off at Colorado the last 2 years is off the charts. You know, we always talk about how, like, the interview is so important in getting to know the kid and trying to figure out who he is. This kid is almost like he doesn't have to do that. Just, like, look at what I just pulled off. You know what I mean? You want to know how I'm going to fit in. You want to know what I'm willing to do for the team. You want to know how I condition and how I work. You want to know how locked in I am on the mental side of the game. Take a look. It's all right there. You know what I mean? Like, so I think that's the part of it that Travis Hunter probably doesn't get enough credit for, is exactly what it takes beyond just physical ability to pull off what he just pulled off. Again, conditioning, mental toughness, mental focus, all of those things to do it and do it at the level he has is just mind-blowing. And so someone's going to get a really good football player. I don't know exactly what it's going to look like his rookie year. I'd imagine maybe, you know, like, they kind of work it up, you know, like it starts with a little on offense and a lot on defense, and then maybe you start to work up the offensive side of it. But I'm fascinated to see how it plays out.
So then which prospect that's available in the draft, Albert Breer, as we're winding down, which prospect is the most likely to have somebody trade up to number one overall to give the Titans a godfather package? What do you think?
I mean, you always default. You default to the quarterbacks.
I know, but you got Abdul Carter and this unicorn we've just been talking about.
I think it's Carter. I mean, I think it's probably Carter would be my guess. Like I've had people tell me he could run 4.3. He's you hesitate to use Unique because he has a lot of like, and it's almost like Micah Parsons a couple of years ago launched a new genre of a player because people had such a hard time placing Micah Parsons. Like, okay, like he's a great edge rusher and he's a great off-ball linebacker, but how exactly do you use him? And then as it turns out over the last 4 years, we found out that dealing with him for an offense is an absolute nightmare. So now you see other players in college being used that way. And Abdul Carter is one of them. Jalen Walker from Georgia is another. Abdul, I think, is the one, though, because like, if the Titans really badly want to get out of there, I don't know if they'll get the quarterback premium for the first pick, but Abdul Carter is like the type of player I think you can build a defense around and play such a premium position. And what we just saw in the Super Bowl is obviously a part of this, too. We just saw what a great defensive line and great pass rushers can do for you. I still have it in the back of my head that it's Abdul Carter because I do think like he's like the he and Hunter are the two best players in the draft, I think. And I think there's a little bit of a gap after that. And, you know, before you get to like the Mason Grahams and the Will Campbells and those guys. But I think like Carter's just an easier translation to the NFL. Like, you know what he's going to be when he gets to the league. Whereas with Hunter, there's a little bit more of a question.
Well, and the Browns already have one of those guys. Right. And the question, yep. as I let you go, is where does Myles Garrett stand, Albert?
I mean, the Browns haven't moved much off their spot, is my understanding. You know, they've gotten calls. And look, like this week could change things, certainly. I do think one of the things that, you know, is interesting about Myles Garrett's his plan of attack here is like that, again –